evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, October 9, 2018. U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations resigns.
A lot of people are going to want to say there's a lot of reasons why I'm leaving. The truth is I want to make sure that this administration, the president, has the strongest person to fight. It was a blessing to go into the U.N. with body armor every day and defend America, and I'll always do that.
And residents in Yei River State need urgent humanitarian help.
There is nothing to eat in Kupera. We were surviving on raw cassava and other wild yams. I am begging the humanitarians to look into our conditions because there are many people trapped in the villages suffering without food.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, has resigned. Haley is a former governor of South Carolina and had often criticized Trump in the run-up to the November election. Trump named Haley ambassador to the U.N. weeks after winning the U.S. elections. In her first visit to South Sudan a year ago, Haley warned President Salva Kiir that the United States was monitoring the conflict closely and found itself at what she called crossroads over its relationship with South Sudan. In July, the UN Security Council imposed an arms embargo on South Sudan, pushed through by Haley, an event she mentioned during her resignation announcement with President Trump in the White House Oval Office a little an hour ago.
Just these 2 years at the UN, we've cut $1.3 billion in the UN's budget. We've made it stronger. We've made it more efficient. South Sudan, we got an arms embargo, which was a long time coming.
Haley said the U.S. has accomplished a lot in her 2 years as ambassador, but she now wants to move on doing something else.
I was governor for 6 years, and we dealt with a hurricane, a thousand-year flood, a church shooting, a school shooting. There was a lot. And then to come in and do 2 years of Russia and Iran and North Korea, it's been 8 years of intense time, and I'm a believer in term limits. I think you have to be selfless enough to know when you step aside and allow someone else to do the jobs.
The ambassador says she realizes people are going to speculate about why she is leaving the administration at this time. But when she is not leaving for personal reasons and is not running for president in 2020.
A lot of people are going to want to say there's a lot of reasons why I'm leaving. The truth is I want to make sure that this administration, the president, has the strongest person to fight. It was a blessing to go into the UN with body armor every day and defend America. And I'll always do that. I'll never truly step aside from fighting for our country.
Haley said countries, quote, may not like what we do, but they respect what we do. They know that if we say we are going to do something, we will follow through, end of quote. President Trump reiterated that Ambassador Haley will continue to serve until the end of the year, but said he expects to announce her replacement within 2 weeks or so. Thousands of people displaced from their homes following recent clashes between armed groups in Kopera County of Yei River State say they are in need of food, shelter, clean drinking water. Local leaders say as many as 10,000 people are trapped in remote villages of Kopera County. Aid workers say they are aware of the IDPs in the area, but insecurity is hampering efforts to reach them. Daniel Friday-Martin reports for VOA from Yei.
Fighting over the past 2 weeks between government and opposition forces in Kopera County forced thousands of civilians, mostly children and women, to flee into remote areas near the Ugandan border for safety. The IDPs say they have lost everything, including all of their food and personal belongings. Kopera resident Joseph Lago arrived in Yei Town late last week. He says he spent several days walking to Yei Town after fighting in Kopera forced him to flee. Speaking in his native Pajulu language, Lago says his relatives are trapped in Kopera and are surviving by eating wild plants.
There is nothing to eat in Kupera. We were surviving on raw cassava and other wild yams. I am begging the humanitarians to look into our conditions because there are many people trapped in the villages suffering without food.
Nicolas Ladu, the head chief in Kupera County, says armed men burnt down village houses.
We are suffering in Kupera County. We have lost all our belongings. People need salt, food, blankets, and saucepans. The village has been destroyed and we are left with nothing, and we are drinking water from the rivers and rainwater.
Both Lago and Ladu are appealing to humanitarian agencies to provide food assistance to the needy and prevent women and children from starving to death. Both are urging South Sudan's leaders to implement a peace deal and end the suffering of the South Sudanese people. Elisa Dora, program manager of the humanitarian organization United Methodist Committee on Relief in Ye River State, says threats against humanitarian workers is hampering efforts to deliver humanitarian assistance to the most vulnerable populations.
Based on the current scenario that is happening, since the civilians are in their support for their lives, we'll be able to assess the situation based on the security scenarios that are there.
Mohamed Sion, head of the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UN OCHA, in Ye River State, says his agency is aware of the situation and is urging leaders on both sides to the conflict to guarantee humanitarian workers unfettered access to the needy in the area.
We are monitoring the situation very closely. As soon as we realize that there's access to that location, we organize a mission and then we go there. What we want is for them to create the corridor, humanitarian corridor, so that we can go there, can provide some basic, you know, items like shelter, NFI items, possibly some nutrition support, and even if possible, food. But that discussion is taking place at Ye level and at Juba level as well, because everybody is concerned.
Kupera County Commissioner Emmanuel Kemis claims the security situation is stable and called on humanitarian organizations to move into the area.
The general security situation in Kupera County generally stable, and all the areas are now accessible. The people who were displaced following the recent incidences that happened between government forces and armed elements are now returning to their homes, and there are approximately 10,000 IDPs that are in dire humanitarian situation. I want to assure all our partners that this is the right time that you come on the ground to help the vulnerable people with the basic humanitarian assistance in Kupera County.
Earlier this year, 7 aid workers were abducted in Kupera, prompting some aid agencies to suspend operations in the county. Under the revitalized peace deal, all parties are required to allow aid workers unhindered access to the needy across the country. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin, reporting from Ye Town.
Still on matters to do with peace, top UN, United Nations and African Union officials visiting South Sudan say they want the country's leaders to improve security situation and implement the peace deal they have just signed in Khartoum. Wake Simon Wudu has this report for VOA from Juba.
Jean-Pierre Lacroix, UN Undersecretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, Smail Chegeu, the AU Commissioner for Peace and Security, and Pomzil Mlambo Nguka, the Executive Director for UN Women, visited Juba and Bentiu this past 3 days, where they interacted with women and internally displaced persons at the UNMISS Protection of Civilian site. Lacroix told the reporters today in Juba that the group is not convinced South Sudan's leaders have security and stability under control across the country.
We are, of course, looking forward to improvement in further improvements in the security situation and other such positive signals that would certainly generate more confidence and mobilization from the international community.
The delegation says it came to South Sudan to stand in solidarity with the South Sudanese people, especially the women who they say have endured immense suffering during the nearly 5-year conflict. Lacroix says while his group recognizes the level of fighting has decreased across the country, many civilians told the visiting officials they are not convinced peace has been restored. AU Commissioner Chegeo says the African Union Security Council expects South Sudanese leaders to effectively implement the peace agreement, which includes releasing all prisoners of war.
The challenges are ahead of us, but let's just take note today that everybody wants to implement that agreement faithfully, and will hold accountable anyone going the other route.
The head of UN Women, Pomzil Mlambo Nguka, says the international community wants to see the rights of women enforced.
We are concerned about that. We have encouraged women to organize themselves because they're going to be overtaken by events. They have to start now to claim their stakes and to be active. And I think we were meeting with them all day today, and part of the discussion today was about getting better organized and being more proactive, being more present, and taking full advantage of every opportunity that is there.
Lakwa says while the United Nations remains committed to supporting the parties in implementing the agreement, it wants South Sudan's leaders to take practical steps to prove they are implementing the agreement.
The parties themselves take the lead in advancing the peace process, and that's the on that basis, and on the basis of further details that will be defined by the parties, then we will be in a better position to assess what role for all of us.
The UN and AU officials say they met top officials of the Kiir administration but did not disclose the details of their discussions. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wodo in Juba.
The SPLM-IO top leadership is appealing to President Salva Kiir to respect the terms of the September 12 peace agreement. The revitalized peace deal required the warring parties to release people detained in connection to the conflict in South Sudan. President Kiir told rebel leader Riek Machar in Khartoum last month that South Sudan freed all political prisoners. I have in the studio Mr. Stephen Parr Kwal, SPLM-IO's chairman for Foreign Relations Committee here in Studio 14. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John, for having me on your show.
How was your meeting with President Kiir in Khartoum?
Well, you have seen it. It was cordial, and we really spoke seriously about the conflict and the crisis situation in the country. Dr. Riek Machar, who was the head of our teams in that meeting, asked directly President Salva Kiir to implement the agreement. You remember we signed cessation of hostility agreement way back in December 2013, and the SPLM-IO implemented this agreement in spirit and letter. We released all the POWs. We have also released all the families of the soldiers who were stranded in our controlled territory. And now you have seen that we have also provided free access, the humanitarian access, which was actually one of the key provisions of that agreement. So we have implemented the cessation of hostility agreement. We have also implemented the permanent ceasefire.
Yes. Let's talk about the news coming from Juba. You remember over the weekend, there was a standoff there at the National Security Headquarters. How many SPLA-IO members are in detention in South Sudan, if you can tell us roughly?
We have so many supporters, but the main leaders we have there, you know them, James Gadedak, Dong Samuel, Hegri Edri, Marco Lokodira. These are people who were abducted in Kenya. We have been demanding the release since 2016, and we have been demanding this. It was put forward during the negotiation that these are people who must be released. They fall within the provision of the agreement. being abductees, being political detainees, being political leaders of the SPLM-IO, they should have been released.
And so what did President Kiir tell you?
President Salva Kiir told us during the latest encounter we had with him in Khartoum that he will release whoever he will find alive in Juba. We know that our colleagues, our comrades are alive. Gadedag has been sent to has been sentenced to death. So he's on death row. We know that he's alive. He's not being released. We also know that our other comrades are in some of those ghost houses. People like Dong Samuel, Agri Edri, Marco, they have been spotted somewhere in Juba.
All right. So let's just hold your thoughts on that issue. I will come back to you right after this break. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we take a look at climate change. That story is coming up after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
have you ever lent money to a friend who did not pay back? How did you handle that situation?
They never return, and I also give up because I want to maintain the friendship. Because our friendship was not monetary. It is a social friendship that it was not meant to involve in economics.
Very often than not, yes. But most of the times, if a friend asks me to lend them money, I would only give it to them if I'm willing to give it to them. Otherwise, if I'm not willing to give them that amount of money, I'll tell them I don't have it.
Actually, it has happened, but it's not very easy to borrow someone who is not your friend. So someone who is my friend, I decided we remain friends, but not on money issues.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday Health segment, and today we are discussing a new report on climate change. The report by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change warns that the world is heating up faster than predicted. If the pace of global warming is not scaled back drastically, the panel says climate-related risks to human well-being, ecosystem, and sustainable development will escalate to dangerous levels. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
Scientists of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report global warming since pre-industrial times already has exceeded 1 degree Celsius. At the current rate of greenhouse gas emissions, it says the level of warming will reach 1.5 degrees during the next few decades. The report says the world needs to reach zero net emissions of carbon dioxide by 2050 to prevent a further rise in temperature. It warns a further increase to 2 degrees Celsius would greatly escalate the number of natural disasters, accelerate the melting of the Arctic sea ice, cause islands to disappear under rising seas, and make it impossible to produce enough food to feed the world's growing population. World Meteorological Organization Secretary General Petteri Talas says there is still time for people to change their behavior to keep carbon emissions from rising. He says preventing the global temperature from going up by 1.5 degree would make a huge difference in the well-being of the planet.
One of the major issues is that there will be 420 million people less suffering because of climate change if we would be able to limit the warming to 1.5 degree level, and we have certain areas in the world which are extremely sensitive, small island states, Mediterranean region, and also sub-Saharan Africa, which are already suffering and will suffer the most in the future.
Talas recommends several actions governments and individuals can take to lower the world's temperature. He says fossil fuels, which are the greatest emitter of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, must be phased out. He says solar power, hydropower, wind power, and other forms of so-called green energy are available to meet people's energy needs. He says more emphasis should be placed on using electric-powered public and private modes of transportation. He tells VOA people can help save the planet by changing their lifestyles. He points to diet as one area that could lessen the problem.
For example, the fact that we eat so much meat means that we are using a fairly large fraction of our agricultural land for the cattle instead of producing vegetarian food that would be more carbon friendly.
Tala says governments have a 30-year window in which to stop using fossil energy and limiting global warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius. He says this is not impossible, but agrees that it is a major challenge. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
If you have just joined us, I am in the studio here with SPLM-IO's Chairman for Foreign Relations Committee, Mr. Stephen Parr-Kwal. Stephen, when we just took a break, you were talking about some of your colleagues who are in detention. I mean, this has been an ongoing discussion between you and the government. Have you made your feelings known to the grantors of the revitalized peace agreement?
Oh, yes. We have made it known to guarantors and Dr. Riek Machar, our chairman, at a number of meetings with the government of the Sudan and the government of Uganda. And he raised this issue so many times. Not only this, you have seen that we have implemented the permanent ceasefire. As we speak, the government in Juba is still on offensive, attacking our position.
But wait a minute. There are credible reports here that SPLM-IO forces are also attacking positions in western Bahr al-Ghazal. Why are you still fighting?
This is not true. By the way, this can be verified only by citizens.
It takes two to fight, Mr. Why are you not accepting responsibility
actions? Our forces have been fighting in self-defense, and it is not true that we have been
that
launching
attacks.
That means
you're fighting, right?
We fight in self-defense. When the government invaded our positions, you have seen that there have been fightings in places like in so many cities, including Lagera and Mundu and Kavera that we have just heard about. It has always been a military offensive by the government.
So you're fighting over control of territories. The government is pushing you, you're pushing the government.
By the way, these are places we have held a long time ago. And John, let the public be reminded that this armed struggle is a resistance of the communities against the government. It was a response to the government genocidal policy of committing atrocities on the community. So our people have taken arms and have been holding this location now for more than 2 years, 3 years. This thing that the government is coming to attack them, to put them under control after the agreement. It's a violation of the agreement.
All right, let's shift our gears a little bit here. What is the policy of SPLM-IO on corruption?
Well, you know, we are for reform, institutional reforms, and it is all over our documents, and it is incorporated in this agreement. We made such presentation also based on our manifesto. We are against corruption.
You are against corruption. And here is a situation. Over the weekend, there was a video, a documentary that was released entitled The Profiteers, talking about those who are benefiting from the war in South Sudan. It talks about government officials. It talks about two senior commanders from SPLM-IO. Colonel Paul Gabriel and Major General Frank Matata, your shadow governor for Yei River State. When I watched the documentary, these two officials were discussing dollars, thousands of dollars.
We have received such news. It was shocking. And the leadership is really investigating this. We will take actions and we will make public statement on it. Let it be verified before people also make big pronouncements.
What are you going to verify when there were testimonies given from these two senior officials?
Well, we are institutions, and institutions do not act on media pronouncement without investigation. Let us do our own investigation. We will make public statement about them. But John, the most important issue here is that we are not a corrupt institution. And when your governor
is saying that please send the money to me through the Abshil, through Amal, through what, and I will guarantee your shipment of logs, sticks, is that not corruption?
That is not policy of the SPLM-IO.
Whose policy is it?
It could be individual conducts. There are corrupt people in every institution, but in this case...
But if they are corrupt people in every institution, so what is the SPLM-IO doing to fight corruption? Because you have been saying Juba is corrupt, but now your two officers are caught in the act of corruption.
It will be managed. Corruption can only be managed. What you need to take from me here is that it is not our policy. It could be actually a violation of our rules against and our laws against corruption.
Now, if somebody in Yei, a very old grandmother in Yei today, says the SPLM-IO should apologize on behalf of the two officials who were caught on camera discussing deals, what would you tell them?
Oh, yes. Well, the SPLM-IO would apologize if we verify this is something that has been committed by our cadres. We are a people movement, and We are always ready to apologize whenever we discover misconduct on our part.
And let me ask you this final question here. What is the difference between SPLM-IO and the government of South Sudan in Juba when we talk about these issues of accountability?
It's like day and night. We actually, part of the reason why we are in opposition is because we do not want to go with the flow. The flow of corruptions and our chairman, Dr. Riek Machar,
there is a visible evidence, picture and voice of your senior commanders discussing deals, and you are saying you want to verify. What verification do you need more?
Well, you don't verify things from the media.
The picture of the person is there. We saw Frank Matata on the video. We saw Colonel Lam Gabriel on the video talking about money.
We have seen the same thing, but there must be procedures to take actions.
Are you telling me that these are the ghosts of your commanders? They are not the ones?
They could be one, but what I'm telling you is that the SPLM-IO leadership is acting on this. And like all the institution will do, whenever a member is accused of something, whether you can see it evidently, like you have seen it, still you must subject it to institutional procedures. And that's what I'm telling you here.
All right, Stephen, thank you very much for accepting to be on this show and coming to talk about the issues to do with your organization.
Thank you very much, John, for having me on your show today.
That's Stephen Parkwal, SPLM-IO's chairman for foreign relations. That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song Achanikai Kimia by Diamond.
Mana nambia nasibu mini mtu mzima na wendo na kutegemea Yanotokia jaribu kupiga kimya usidiriki ata kuongea Mara nasikia vyaibu konda kwa jima eti ugomvi umekolea Kuchunguza karibu ni binti moja kwa mitandao anachochea Na jaribu kunyamaza ili moyo utaki Unanambia tisimba japunguruma uiseme haki Unajaribu kunyamaza Atalaiza tagio Anasema wala unena kidogo
We have been listening to Diamond with the song Achanikai Kimia. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mama kanambia oh nifunge mudomo kimya nipate mudoko sana nisiseme kimya.